Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, 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 oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's a Power Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. We're improving the lives of our community each day. Personal development. Simply trying. And love for self and kind. Come on and go with me on this journey today. Let's ride. Come on. Oh, yeah. There's no better love. Y'all know it. Oh, yeah. Better love. There is no better love than for self and kind. No better love. Thank you for calling. Thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. It's the Empowerment Hours, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for African Americans. That is our mission. And we are the NAAEA. What's that you ask? It's the National African American Empowerment Association. And our mission is to ensure that the needs of the African American communities are met through the development of the programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower the African American community wherever you are to learn five critical areas and apply those to your lives. Teach your kids how to have a political agenda. That's the P. The E is an economic agenda and an economic plan that we can secure our future for our babies. They need resources. We need resources. We have to be able to get to a place where we understand capitalism, that we understand the political agenda. We're talking about, oh, they're changing the rules in Georgia. So what? Change it. We just adapt. How about that? Let's make it real easy, right? A is athletics. Here's the critical piece for people of color, African Americans. You have to have a health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition agenda. That's right. You got to take care of your body. You have to take care of your body. You have to take care of yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You got to do it because you got to be around. You got to help guide and lead. I need to be in good shape. Right? You need to have a walking plan. You need to have a good eating plan. You need to have a diet. And you got to have a mental health plan, a self-care plan where you shut it down and you go do some meditation and some yoga and find some balance in your life. What's wrong with that? And then culture, relevant cultural programs. And I will say that my brother Stan Macklin put them together. We had great cultural programs. Brother George, great cultural programs. And as soon as Corona slow down a little bit and we get to going. We're doing it virtually, but we're going to go back to doing what we do. That's educating our people like we're doing now with this show. And lastly is education, a comprehensive education on allowing us to learn more about who we are. That's culturally, mentally, physically, socially, emotionally. You got it because that's what we need, right? So today our topic is emancipation without a plan. The healing needs to begin. Emancipation without a plan. Let me slide on over to Brother George. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am, brother.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and I thank you for allowing me to do this segment each week. I really feel proud of what we do and how we do it.
All right. I love it, and we need it.
Well, thank you,
brother. You're welcome.
All right. Okay, this week's Kwanzaa principle is going to be Kuti Chagalia, which is self-determination to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. And I think that's very crucial. All of the principles are really crucial right now. We need to really, really delve into those principles and really determine, you know, how each one can serve us at this point in our history. And today I'm going to focus on Kuti Chagalia, because many times the way that things are defined from different perspectives, different people are harmed by different things in different ways. And so a lot of times we have to learn to be able to speak and define what's going on with us through our own intervention. And so today, when I move to the Willie Lynch segment, I'm going to be speaking out of a book called Psychoacademic Holocaust, The Special Education in HDHD War Against Black Boys by Dr. Umar Johnson, Doctor of Clinical Psychology and Certified School Psychology. Now I'm going to be reading from the chapter on Jim Crow in the schools, the learning disability as racial profiling. If HDHD is the most misdiagnosed mental disorder in the African American community, then the specific learning disability is by far the most misdiagnosed and abused special education classification. The so-called learning disability has served as a weapon of mass destruction in African American communities for far too long. And it's time that neighborhoods of color come to true understanding just what this diagnosis is and how it operates. According to the federal special education law, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Improvement Act in 2004, a specific learning disability is a disorder in one of the basic psychological processes involved in learning, which means that the child has a significant challenge in being able to acquire or retain new academic information. This challenge must be out of the ordinary when compared to other children his or her age or in the same grade. Furthermore, this problem should not be better accounted for by any other historical or current set of circumstances in the child's life. For example, if a child is referred for a psychoeducational special education evaluation because the teacher or parent suspects that he or she, I often use he since special education in the African American community is mostly exclusively a male phenomenon, has a specific learning disability in SLD, in basic reading skills, the evaluating psychiatrist should follow best practice by conducting a thorough clinical interview with the child and their family to determine if there are any variables at play in the child's life that could better account for the reading trouble that they are having. I often find, as an expert evaluator, that there are significant competing explanations for not only reading disabilities, but for disabilities of any kind. These include, among other reasons, poor previous instruction. Black students are subject to the worst schools and the most ill-prepared, inexperienced, and disinterested teachers in the country. The public school teacher unions have helped to create perpetuate this modern form of Jim Crowism by the teacher seniority school assignment process, which allows the best teachers in a district to escape the ghettos in lieu of opportunity to teach at the high achieving suburban or mentally gifted program, while the least affected students are left with the children who need the most help. Let me restate that. While the least affected teachers are left with the children who need the most help. Now, I know that in some ways that sounds, you know, harsh that you would say that a lot of the teachers that's at the black schools are not adequate. But it's true. I mean, the brother did his research, and it's true, because if that weren't the case, then how come our children are underachieving at a rate that's like ridiculous? You know, so it's something for us to think about, since we're trying to plot out our own destination, we're trying to define ourselves, we're trying to help our children to define themselves, that these are things, because that's where we're going to have to start with our children. These are things that we need to seriously consider. And Marvin, I thank you for the time, and it's back to you, brother.
Thank you, Brother George. You said it best, brother. There's some things that we just have to consider. I appreciate you, brother. So, in considering those things, I have to consider something real quick. Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify. Let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
I like that. Original kings and queens. So we're talking about emancipation without a plan. So you got to go back a little bit and think about what has happened to us. And so if we do a careful chronicling of the history here in this country, you'll see it clearly. So we're going to talk about today. It'll be a potluck, so you can talk about whatever you want to as well. But I want to just speak to how the healing needs to begin, because there's some things that we just got to face within ourselves, right? So this is more of an individual group talk, right? Because we do the work on ourselves, but we're going to have to look at the stuff that we've been through in this country and do a careful examination of it so we can have a clear pathway out for our people. Our people need healing, and the healing has to start with us. It begins with working on ourselves.
From 1619 to 1865, we were essentially chattel in this country, in the United States. We were nothing more than animals or beasts. That's 246 years. Imagine that. Okay, so here, visual. 246 years in the condition of enslavement, where, forget beauty, we weren't even human beings. Then we got emancipation without a plan. We, 1865 to 1964, we were really in a position of post-enslavement, people without real rights. And then hits the civil rights movement, 1965 to the present. Well, if we look at that, this amount of time in, this amount of time out, but of that time out, really only that much time out, because for most of that time from 1619 to 1965, we had no basic rights in this country. Forget beauty. We weren't even considered people in the eyes of the law, nor in the eyes of our neighbors in the country and in the world.
To think about emotional emancipation, that's exactly what we as black people need to come back together, to have a safe space where we can vent and cry and love on each other, knowing the experiences that we have in this world, that every moment is telling you that you are less than, that you are a threat, that you're dangerous. And the world tells your children, your husband, your wives, brothers and sisters. And so being able to have a place where you can come and shed that weight, but then get healing, to be able to understand who it is that you really are, why you're a target, and what does that mean for black people in rising up within themselves.
The thing that stuck with me the most was the list of lives that everyone contributes to. And those lives are often forgotten as you progress or as you grow older. And just to see that list of lives on display was eye-opening, because it let me know I need to be aware of those lives still and teach our future generation to not let those lives hold them back from who they want to become.
I think the quote that stuck out with me the most, and I might be paraphrasing, but you may not have been born in Africa, but Africa was born in you. And I think that quote just really, for me, captures why it can, when we're disconnected from our roots, it can make dealing with the current oppression that much more difficult, and that a part of healing and resisting the current conditions of oppression is coming back to source, is coming back to our roots and recognizing that that's a homecoming sort of within.
All right, we need a healing plan. We've been emancipated. They was like, okay, y'all go free. We don't think about all the trauma and the pain and the abuse that our ancestors took that they had to live with and sweep up under the rug, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, culturally, socially, you name it. And we just, okay, y'all go. Didn't know the system, right? And so think about all the iterations after slavery, Jim Crow, segregation, mass incarceration, crack, the war on drugs. It just goes on and on and on. And we had to adapt and adjust, but we haven't been able to quite heal, right? So with emotional emancipation circles, it's being able to talk about some of the things that we need to heal from, the pain, right? There's nothing wrong with being able to deal with your issues, the things that bother you, the things that hurt you. Martin Luther King had a dream. But we don't have a plan, and most of us don't have a clue about what's driving us mentally and emotionally as we continue to move forward. Some of our relationships, some of our communication, some of our leaders. You just name it, you go down the line. So today we're going to talk about that. It's our healing that we're talking about today. What going down the road without a plan does for our community. And at the beginning of every show, I said we need a political agenda, we need a plan, we need an economic agenda, we need a plan. So I'm going to the lines. Thank you for being patient. 92 82 guess what time it is.
Bring it. What?
9282.
Assalamu alaikum.
What's happening?
Hope all is well with everyone.
Hey, my brother.
Yes, sir. Look, a couple things I want to say and get started with. First, I want to say we talk a lot on this program and other programs like this. You know, people say we talk a lot. What are we doing? You know, and I just want to say to that, you know, Brother George is out in the neighborhood, in the hood, every day.
That's right.
Out in Wickham Court. As an ambassador for the city of Richmond, working in the community with our folks, trying to enlighten them and educate them, give them knowledge, you know, and so forth, and just be a beacon or a light, you know, a hope. You are out there every day doing things, you know, working with the students all over the city, all in the church here and all over, you know. So I'm just saying things that people don't know. That, you know, it's a lot of things going on. There's some people out there that's on the same page that want to see what we want to see. That's doing some things. You know, I'm working with a group through Brother George and yourself and other things. What we're trying to bring something to the city that we hope to take around the world. What we're calling the Academic Enrichment Center, where we're going to be providing education for two-year-olds, four-year-old preschool, you know.
That's right.
Even in the hood, you know what I mean, in public housing communities, things that we need. And like Brother George said, and I agree with, most teachers in public school system in the city are there for money, for the money.
Mm.
Oh. And money only, okay?
Oh.
I know this because I've been up in the system.
I've seen you in it. Yes, sir.
And I had to tell a few people, you got to love it to be here. If you don't love it, don't do it. You know, that's what we got to do. And our vision, and this is a vision I'm putting forward for the Academic Enrichment Center, is be an educational institution which creates self-educational and self-empowerment black communities throughout the world, where our people are educating and empowering themselves. That's the vision
of the
organization. Get it to the point where it just takes over and generation and generation. Self-education, self-empowerment throughout the world in black communities. Okay? Now, other thing I want to add on is when we talk about emancipation and so forth, mm-hmm. what we do in this country. Look, okay, they say you can be anything you want to be in this country if you put your mind to it, okay?
Mm.
If you're properly educated, if you're properly prepared, or properly, I don't like to say educated, I say trained, because I, for one, don't believe you get educated in this system. You are trained in this system. So you can get a job. But I guarantee you, every job or profession that you get, regardless of what you end up getting, is for the benefit of the system. You can be anything, have any job you want to be, so long as the white man approves of it and they train you for the position that they need you in. And every job you get, I'm telling you, it benefits the system. The system to survive need bitches, the system need hoes, the system need pimps, the system need thieves, the system needs murderers, the system need nuts, the system needs preachers, the system needs teachers, the system needs lawyers, the system needs doctors. Every job you can get, it benefits the system.
Mm.
And the more benefit you are to the system, the better income you will make. You know what I mean? So we got to understand that when we putting ourselves out here to get jobs and oh, she's this or he's this or she's that, all of it is for the benefit of the system. Like I said last week, without me, there would be no hell.
Mm.
And we got to get the hell out of us, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, we proudly hold our heads up sometimes. You know, we say in the community we got bourgeois Negroes, we got the ghetto Negroes, you know, all these divisive things and so forth to keep us against one another. And my struggle become, I got to get my children to a point where my children get the best jobs available.
Mm.
You know, that's going to benefit the system. Do more for the system. I know we're in a situation where we got to have money, because we got to pay rent, we got to have a home or a car, we got to communicate and so forth. But we got to start getting to the point where we really truly asking ourselves, do we really need all those things? You know, what if we all were? I'm gonna get a little, you know, little crazy in my speculation if I can.
Okay.
What if we all were homeless? What if we all didn't have a job? What if we all, I guarantee you, because every job benefits the system, even the homeless. You know, even the so-called crackpots and the nuts. Look at all the jobs black folks got years ago in social services. You know, because we got to have people to oversee our welfare, Negroes. We got to have people to run those programs and keep the children in school. We got to have all the social service things. That's where most of us work, social service positions and so forth. You know, we work for the city. We work for the state. We get good government jobs, as they say. You know, I grew up in government jobs. You know, you can climb the ladder of government jobs, but they all benefit the system. They all keep the system going. And if you well-trained, well-educated, I mean, I ain't going to say educated, well-trained. That's the more money you get, because the system does not educate you. The system does not give you knowledge, because knowledge is power. The system trains you on how to function for it within the system. So I don't know if we've been emancipated, per se, whatever that means, you know, because like I said before, if we were truly freed in 1863, in January 1863, if we were truly freed and we were free black men and women when they said, okay, it's over, y'all now I'm free, we would have went straight back to Africa. We would have went, think about it. If we were truly free, if we had become the black men and women we were when they first forced us to come here, and tricked us to come here, if we were those people in 1863 when they said you free, we would have went back to Africa. Ain't no way we would have stayed here and got the training and got the emancipation and then fight each other for jobs in the system and hate each other for jobs in the system and become bitches and hoes and pimps and thugs and alcoholics and drunks, preachers and teachers and social workers and those, and call ourselves free and emancipated. No, we would have left here and went back if we were free. We're far from free, brother. That's the path we need to go to. Create self-sustaining institutions that create self-education and self-empowerment. We must do this for ourselves. That's,
like
that's
that.
Free black people. You know, that's free,
like
free
that.
Man when you can do that. You know what I mean? That's what we need to start focusing on. And we're doing it. You know we're doing. We're trying, brother.
Yeah,
all the time.
We're trying. All right, thank you, brother. I'm going to come
thank
on
you,
back
brother.
Around to you. That was pretty
yes,
good.
Sir.
Now, the brother said maybe we need to get off the grid. Now, I'm not sure how it would be if we didn't have no economy. I just imagine us walking around here barefooted, half naked. Could be challenging, but I understand what you're saying, brother. I understand what you're saying. We got to get off the grid. All right. Oh, 946. What you got? 0946, are you there?
I am here. Good afternoon, good afternoon.
What's up, sister?
Hey, I'm doing okay. You doing all right?
I'm doing wonderful. My man just laid it down pretty good. Then brought
yeah,
it on back around for us.
Down.
We got to do for ourselves at the end of the day. I think that's what your brother George said with Coochie Chocolia. We got to do it. What you got?
Right. Well, I do believe that we have to do it, and I think that there's such a fine line when we talk about the community in who are we really upset with. And I think sometimes the byproduct of the system, we sometimes give that too much attention. You know, all the players in this system game that are full of self-hate, non-respect for one another, is a byproduct of a racialized system that has taught us to hate ourselves, has taught us to disrespect ourselves. And it's like when a man cheats on his wife and the wife gets upset and blames the other woman. That woman is not married to him. He made a covenant with his wife. The wife should be upset with him. But displaced anger ends up blaming the wrong person. We are a byproduct of a system that has taught us to be dysfunctional. And I think sometimes we point the finger at the wrong thing. It is the system that we're up against. Here's the thing. You cannot deconstruct and not leave people something to reconstruct. So we can deconstruct the system, but what do we have to put in place for people to reconstruct? So we got to have a plan. We got to have the answer. We can't just talk about what's wrong. What's going to make it right? What's the plan? Does the plan work? Have you tried the plan? So we've tried educational programs. They've been trying that for the last 50 years. Head Start, the statistics say Head Start didn't work. They say the little bit of gains that children get in Head Start is lost after about the second or third grade. So the statistics show that Head Start doesn't even work, right? Because I think we're still trying to deal with this in the natural and the secular. We have a spiritual issue. We have a spiritual problem that causes our mindset to deconstruct or go against us, destroy us. And so to change your mind, it takes a miracle. You don't just one day be at one place and make a 360. Something amazing has to happen for you to go from I'm nothing to I'm something. And we are trying to fill the gap in with secular things and natural things that cannot fulfill the change of a mindset that's been conditioned to believe that it's not anything. I don't care if you hand a poor person $1 million, they will be poor again. So there's a mindset that we're dealing with here. And we need to be mad at the right person. I'm not upset with my brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters are doing exactly what they've been taught to do, what they've been classically trained to do. And so what I have to say is, if I can't come with a solution, not advice, because everybody got one, an opinion, but if my solution don't work, then I need to go back to the drawing board and say, you know what, I got good intentions, and we tried it, but it ain't working. So we need a system in place that's going to work. And so I just want to encourage us that we can talk all day long what the problem is and what we need to do, but here's what we know. Information does not cure conditioning. There's a lot of people that are overweight that are nutritionists that can tell you what the right thing is to eat, but they're conditioned. Drug addicts can tell you all day I got to do is quit the drugs, but their bodies are conditioned. So we are conditioning. You must have a new experience. And so if I'm talking ill to my brother has got to experience somebody that loves him or her unconditionally, that can look them in the face and look them in the eyes and don't see any pity, but I communicate with what I believe that you are. I don't come at you and talk down to you because you in the gutter. Because nobody's in the gutter because they want to be. Don't nobody choose that life unless they're not in the right mind. And so we have got to be able to offer the community a solution, not just advice or information. So that's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. I like that. Great day. All right, the brother laid it down and the sister came behind. We got somebody that moved from first on down to second. She done pushed them on around to second. I like that. The sister said, an amazing miracle has to happen, has to take place with our people. We have to be able to heal because the simple fact is many of us, not putting everybody in this category, don't love ourselves. We just don't, right? We can see it. Again, if you go to any city in this country or in any country where there's a majority of people of color, it's dysfunctional, it's impoverished. Right? In a lot of areas where it's just us, we don't have resources, we don't have economy, we don't have love, we got crime, we got violence, and we got poverty. And on the low end of that spectrum is what we talked about with schools and education. And we have to have a solid early learning component to prepare our kids. And again, like the brother said, if we're going to be here, then we got to learn how to play. We got to learn how to be effective and efficient at doing that. All right, I'm going over to 4756. 4756, it's your turn to get on board. Let's see if we can get somebody on over to third. 4756.
You want me to reach up?
Oh, shucks, Brother Warren.
Yeah, glad to have a chance to come in and visit today. I just want to briefly contribute that I think one of the things that is pressing my heart right now is how we don't understand how the people move on us. Now, I'm going to do a show at 4 p.m. Eastern Time today with a person who wrote a piece about this anti-Asian hate stuff that they say going on and how that might be a setup on black people. And so I'm seeing people who are called Asian. Now remember, Asian is a big general term. Chinese don't look like people from East India. Palestinians don't look like people from Vietnam. So what is happening now is just, so Asians are being put into this big box. They're being given now some big group power in the United States. And they're being put more openly now as a buffer in this racial hierarchy. And so now the image who is supposed to be attacking so-called Asians or black people, that's the image you are to interpret when you watch these little news video clips of what looks like a black guy pushing the Asians down on the ground. And so now what we see them doing is trying to change the subject from black people's attack by the police, right? That they're trying to change that subject. And then now make it seem like Asian people are victims of some sort of hate by black people, which then gives the impression where you see black people are racist too. All of this is how the racist imaging and propaganda works. So my point is, we need to understand that various immigrant groups, non-black immigrant groups, I should say, are being positioned as buffers. And here's a question we should reflect on. Why is it everywhere black people live, whether it's in the United States, the Caribbean, or Africa, or even in places like Fiji and the Solomon Islands where they're blacks, the merchant class is always these Asian people, the merchant class, the people that have the stores, the retail outlets, the hardware stores. When you go to Africa, like Senegal, you're going to see the Lebanese. Even in Ghana, see the Lebanese. Okay, and Chinese. Why are they the merchants? I know the answer to the question, but who is organizing these other so-called non-white people in positions of what I call the vacuum cleaner? That is, you suck up all the money from the people at the bottom. And then the people at the bottom, being disorganized, saying they have no money, are crying to the people at the top for justice. And another thing, we need to stop this conversation. You know, I look at some of these news channels on cable channels, and you hear the journalists, whether they're black or white, say this. We need to have a conversation on race. We need to have a conversation about racism. We need to stop all these conversations with these people who are the experts at it, because they're the ones do it, right? So white people who are racist are the experts on racism. So we can't tell them anything. We can't show them any statistics. They generate the statistics and different data on all areas of life that they want it to reflect. We need to have analysis among ourselves as African people in terms of how we are engineered in the situation we are, and how we can mobilize and set a behavior to move in a position of freedom and autonomy. But a lot of things, we just don't understand the chess game that's being played on us. So again, in conclusion, now we see so-called Asian people now. So let me give you an example. Let's say if a person say, I'm going out, I'm a attack a Chinese person because they brought coronavirus here. Well, you're not going to go out and jump on an East Indian person, right? You might jump on a Vietnamese, a Chinese, a Japanese, a Korean, because they look similar. But my point is, all of them supposed to be Asian, and they're all supposed to be victims of some sort of anti-Asian attack. And the implication from the images on the news is that it's black people, even though white people have killed Asians over and over again out of actual hate crimes. The system is trying to make our image the image of anti-Asians hate. So that's a racist stereotype they've been doing, you take the actions of one or two people and you blame the whole group for it.
Mm.
Okay, so it's the same soup warmed up all over again and put up in the microwave. Mm. There you have it.
All right. Thank you, Brother Warren. It's the same soup. Thank you, brother. Warmed up and served back to you again. Hey, again, I think we're talking about the same plan, right? It's just a different form. You look at slavery, then you look at Jim Crow, and you look at segregation, you look at mass incarceration, and now you look at the different iterations. We haven't healed from any of that. We haven't created strategies. Now, we do have some form of rights now, and some form of humanity, but we're always classed and coupled and grouped together, always, always. So what we're going to do, we need a plan, because emancipation without a plan is a problem. We need education. We need culture that helps our people to be stable, right? We need better families. We need to do the work. That's what we need to do. All right, I'm going to slide on over to 81. 28.
Bring it,
brother. 8128.
This
is Empowerment Hour. I'm doing fine. How are you, brother?
Hey, brother, I didn't catch a whole lot of what you're saying, but in terms of us needing a plan, the opinion's got to be that we need to come together with our educated professors, with our business owners, and those who have independent skills. We need to come together and build a structure, a hiring structure, a training structure, an employment structure, and communities that have these structures outlined in the people who live there. In other words, whenever we have an increasingly educated community, right, our communities are much more stable. Right, we need to become communities with different levels of our people working in, educators, employers, business owners, teachers, doctors, lawyers, construction, technical people, IT people. We need to attract and come together as a community and stop fearing being around each other as it being a bad thing, okay? Because being around some other people is just going to get you used. It's going to just get you drained. It's just going to get you, totally, deprived of any form of true respect and true sense of accomplishment, like you do when you're around your own people. So my plan is for us to come together on all levels: educational, technical, spiritual, vocational, and whatever other levels that we can, and come together and start by working out our problems. Any problems of being around each other, okay, and dispense the myth. Because there are plenty of myths. And we have them in our subconscious in ways in which we don't even realize. And we must never forget, right, that this program that we've gone through has layers to it that we can only eradicate and only penetrate if we're talking to each other. Because that's the only way we don't realize really what it is that's been going on inside our head that's keeping us against each other. And that's special. Right? All right.
Thank you, brother. We need healing. Again, it starts with us. We're going to have to do the work. right? And I don't, again, what I'm saying is we have never truly done the work of healing from the trauma of being in this country. We haven't. And we're going to have to decide the process that we need to put in place to do those things. There's so many variables at play, but I think one thing that Brother George brought out is that we need to do the Kuchi Chagalia, and that is begin to redefine ourselves, right, and how we think, and really do the work of healing our people. And so, again, it is the practice of doing those things that we know we need to do. But it's going to start with us, because as we continue to move forward, if we don't fix the problems as we go along, the problems are going to linger, and it's our job to heal. I'm going over to Brother George. Oh, yeah. Brother George, what you got?
Well, the first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to thank Brother Booker for the shout-out of what I do in the community each day.
Yeah, and thank
secondly,
you, brother.
I would like to, say God bless DMX's soul, because he passed this week. And we used
True.
The song, you know, to bring us on. And, I'd like to say that.
Thank
now,
you, Brother George.
Today I talked about some opinions of Dr. Umar Johnson, which I'm not sure that all the other psychologists agree on all of his statements. But he's a black man, and he's done a great deal of research, and personally for me, I believe what he's saying about the school system and how our young men are targeted, because it is an overwhelming amount of learning disabilities assigned to black males. And whenever I worked at the schools, I told them there was nothing wrong with it. And I don't think the school system liked me saying that. But I want to say this. A teacher can't teach what they don't know. So if our children's teachers don't know our history, then they can't teach it to our children even if they wanted to. And so that's a lot of the case. If you're teaching people, because
True.
Education, the original educational system came to pass as a result of humankind, which was us, learning to solve the problems of our community. And so as we solve those problems, the end result became what you call culture.
Uh-huh.
And so today, the educational system should serve the same purpose. Our educational system should be concerned with concerning the problems of the majority of the people that go to that particular school. So if the school is majority African American, then the school's curriculum should be targeted towards solving African American problems and then creating a culture at that school for those kinds of things to happen. Now,
True.
When we had the so-called segregated schools, a lot of those schools did that. And we achieved a great deal more when we were all being taught by the best black teachers. And we had certain students that were outstanding students. And see, if I had a friend that was an outstanding student and I was like lacking, my friend could help me build up my grades. But if you take my friend through the integrated process and then send them to a gifted school and leave me at the original school, now my friend is no longer there to assist me in doing that. Now, the second thing is when you take the best black teachers and you give them incentives to go and speak and teach at the so-called gifted schools or the suburban schools, so that they don't have to deal with the horror of what goes on at our schools, which in some ways you can't blame them, because that's civilized thinking. I don't want to be where there's a bunch of nonsense and violence going on. But the only way that we're going to solve it is some of our best teachers is going to have to come back in there and deal with that issue. And so, like, right now,
we're in a position where we're redefining what our future is going to be in this country. That's why so much is going on, so much uproar is going on, because a lot of white folks can see that we're changing, that we're not going backwards, we're going forwards. We're thinking in our best interest, and we're focusing on the problem, and we're staying on it. And now I think that this next murder case by a police officer is going to be one. Now, what that does after that happens, I don't know. But I still think that we have to focus on our really young people, and we have to start teaching them. I'm not saying that we don't need to teach them about history, period, or history from about white folks. I'm not saying that we need to leave that out, but we need to teach that history in a way that is relative to the black experience. There are a lot of things when we start talking about the 40s, and the only thing that a black person can say what you know about the history of the 40s is the gangsters. Those were white men that were doing that. What was going on in your community? What was going on in your educational, you know, in your school system? What was going on other than that's all you could state as what was going on in the 30s and 40s? You see, we have to start re-educating our people to what it is that we've accomplished, who it is that we are, and this is my last point, and then I'm out. We need to understand that they stole our legacy. They have stolen the things that we have accomplished and put their names on it and then teach our children that they did these things. We have to begin to challenge that with the real information about who did what. So, brother, you know, I thank you for the time, you know, and back to you, brother.
Thank you, Brother George. Way to lay it down. It's emancipation without a plan, and we got to have a plan, and those are the things that we're talking about today. What's the plan for the future? Here's a question. What's the difference between Rodney King and George Floyd? What's the difference? We're going to say a moment of silence for Brother DMX, but as we look at the list of entertainers and brothers and sisters who lost their lives because of pain, right? Got Whitney Houston and her daughter, Michael Jackson, right, just to name a few. And it could go on and on and on. If you don't get that healing and you use substances to try to cope with that, then you know what's going to happen at some point. We need healing. That's all I'm saying. And we need to be able to do the Kujichagulia thing. We got to do it. I'm going on over to 9282. Can I get back to you, brother? 9282, guess what? Coming at you right now.
Yes, sir, brother. Look, quick. We've tried everything as a people since we've been enslaved in this country except coming together. That's the one thing we have not tried. Like I said, we've tried everything else. Try that. Let's give that a shot. And to do that, we need, as you say every week, self-love. Self-love. Learn to love ourselves. I think that's the miracle the sister talking about. That self-love, because we just can't seem to love ourselves. Love ourselves as a people. And if we do that and come together as a people, we'll notice. We will see the future. We will know it. If we just come together as a people and love ourselves, we will build what is called an economy. If we start using our minds, our resources,
I like that.
It's just natural. It will happen. Give love a try and come together as a people. And on the Asians, briefly, after losing wars to white people, okay, because the Asians lost wars to white people. They lost the control of their land, everything. They lost control of their resources, their women, just like us. They lost everything. They were allowed to keep their language and so forth in their land, but it became a democracy, controlled by capitalists. They don't even defend that. They don't have militaries no more. They're defended by the U.S. military. Okay, but the thing we need to understand is that they used them further by allowing them to come to incentivize them to come to America. They gave them loans. and they didn't have to make a payment on those loans for 10 years. Okay, imagine that, giving you loans, giving black folks loans, millions of dollars to come to open up businesses in our communities, and they didn't have to pay on the loan for 10 years, and then they forgave the loans. And they had filled the Asians' minds with the stereotypes of how we were, how we act in the neighborhood, and they came in our neighborhoods and just built. They took them over from the Jews, you know, because the Jews had all the things years ago in our neighborhoods, okay? And then sold them, after they suckered us and got us to love them and work with them and all, the Jews were our friends. Then when they started leaving our community, do you think they sold the stores to us? No. They sold them to the Asians, to the Koreans, and so forth. Now you see the West Indies, the Indians, you know, they don't sell to us. And then people come in, like Farrakhan said one time, we have been the breast that have fed the world. Every time they come to this country, they nurse on us. They nurse on us. But like Sister Benita said, I think it was Sister Benita, we got to blame the right people. Don't blame the Asians, you know. Don't blame the Asian, you know. Don't. We got to blame the right people for how they were used and still being used and pitted against us, you know, to keep us, you know, where we are. You know, we can't come to our people with this. When we come talk to our people, to uplift our people also, we can't come, like Brother Warren said, with the same old soup. We can't, especially when you're going into the hood, when you're going to the so-called gangsters in the hood, those the brothers running the game, they're running the scam, running the dope business, running the deal. You can't come to them with the same old stuff. You can, 'cause they see it. They see right through it. They see the scam. That's why it doesn't work. We come down, we used to run the same old stuff. They give you 5 minutes, if that. Say, okay, what you got, brother, sister? Then you start talking, and go, been that, done that, seen that, man, get out here with that crap, you know? I mean, we've got to come different, brother. We've got to come with the truth. We've got to call a spade, be honest with our people, and as we said last week, to make any of this work, it has to start with us. It has to start with you as an individual. As I said earlier, we've got to call it what it is and kick the hell out of us as individuals. Love ourselves. Come together as a people. Let's try that. We'll be amazed. We keep saying, well, we don't have this, we don't have this, we don't have the economy, we don't have this. But what else are we going to do? Come together as a people, love yourself, and we'll probably be amazed what we will do when we're coming together and put our minds together. Yeah, we need spiritual healing, but the spirit is the mind. The spirit is the mind. That's your spirit. Mind. It's that mind. That's the greatness. That's where we need the healing, the mind. Because you ain't dead until you're mentally dead. That's when, the, quote, unquote, the spirit leaves the body. Because the mind is no longer there. You're dead. That's what we got to do. Just come together as a people, brothers and sisters. And I guarantee you, if we unite as a people, it'll be fascinating what we will do. The thoughts that we will have, the things that we will come together. Now, we're not going to be without clothes. We may have something we don't call clothes, but something else. You know, it's like,
I like that.
I went to Africa, and the people, you know, they wear long shirt sleeves and so forth and all that. And I was like, why they got this hot as hell over here? Why they got these long sleeves on and all that stuff, especially in the desert? But the reason they dress like that is because if in that desert dry heat, when you sweat, you don't see it. It's so dry, you don't see your sweat. But when you put those long shirts on, those long covers on, it traps the sweat and it keeps you cool. That's why they do it. You know, it's a whole different thought. Just our mind is what we just come together and bring our mind. That's the greatness. That's God, the mind. And we've got to find it in each one of us as individuals. And like I said before, then we'll find each other. And God knows.
I like that. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir, my brother. Thank you, brother.
Let's try. Thank you. Let's try Kuji Chagalia. Let's try, and the brother's right, to define ourselves. Let's create and frame the narrative for ourselves. Let's continue to name ourselves and create, produce. When we become producers, the game changes. Let's begin to create. Let's become creators again. We created civilization. Your ancestors did. It's in you. Let's begin to speak for ourselves and speak up for ourselves, calling those things out that are wrong and correcting those things. That's our responsibility now, taking care of our children and our women and our women taking care of our men, loving on each other like the brother said, because it's up to us to do that. And if we do that, everything will change. Till next week, people, love y'all. Let's keep doing it till we get it right. Peace and blessings.